So we're going to turn to God's Word, and our reading today will be from Isaiah chapter 43. Our text is verse 19, but I want to start reading at verse 16. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my peace. Our text today, as I say, is taken from verse 19, where God says, I am doing a new thing. The last time I spoke to you, I mentioned that we all like new things, new cars, new clothes, new hairdos, etc. But as I thought about this, I realized that there are times when we do not like new things. When I mentioned new things, I was talking about new things of our choice. But sometimes new things come across our pathway and we are forced to have new things, or we're forced to change. And this can sometimes be a real challenge to many of us who don't like change. And sometimes we fight against the concept of change and newness. This morning, our focus, as I say, is on verse 19, where God says, I am doing a new thing. My sister and I bought my mum and dad a Samsung tablet. Other brands are available. We bought it during the lockdown so that they could watch church services. They weren't getting out to church and they wanted to see some church services. My dad is 92 years of age and my mum is 88. Now, for two people who have trouble using a flip mobile phone, this tablet was going to be a real challenge to them, as you can imagine. The initial response was that we couldn't work this. This is too newfangled. And they were scared of it. They were frightened to use this tablet. What if they got it wrong? And all the things that you would expect a 90-year-old to say to you with regard to modern technology. You see, like most of us, because they don't understand it or they didn't understand it, they questioned why they needed it. And they were afraid of it. They wanted just to stick to their old ways. And this is sometimes true about church. Sometimes we want to stick to our old ways. We're living in a time of change, and change is going to be very evident in our churches as we try to get back to church. And for many people who don't like change, this will be a real struggle to them. But we know that we live in a day and age whenever change is going to be something that's very, very real. And I'm not talking just about older people here. I'm talking about younger people, middle-aged people. Many of us don't like this concept of change and newness. Change can be difficult for many people. They can find it hard to cope with. And they wonder why we can't remain the same. We wonder why we can't continue on the way we do things. We've done it in the past. Why we can't continue on doing that in the future. But let's look at this in a practical way. We're glad when a child is born and they start to grow and develop, we're glad that we see change in that child. We're glad that a child begins to notice things. We're glad whenever they become a toddler. We're glad whenever they begin to form words. This is change. This is newness. And this is progress. And that brings joy to our hearts. We live in a world of seasons. We have four seasons in our world, the world that we live in. And these four seasons affect you, they affect me, they affect nature, they affect animals, and they affect everything around us. For example, farmers need snow and frost as much as they need rain and sunshine. Change, newness, brings development and it brings growth. In the same way, change is necessary for us in church. Change and newness will often bring spiritual growth. And if we remain stagnant, we'll become smelly and we'll die. So God purposes change. God purposes newness in order that we may grow in Him spiritually. Does that diminish the Word of God? Absolutely not. Does it diminish the message of the gospel? Absolutely not. But the methods that we use are maybe different than methods we used a number of years ago. The word's still the same. The message is still the same. In fact, God tells us in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. God does not change. The methods we use to present the gospel may change, but God does not change. He will remain the same. So God has reminded his people here in this portion that we read, God is reminding these people that he was the one that brought them through the Red Sea, that he was the one who brought them, who defeated the armies that were fighting against them. He was the one who put to flight their oppressors. And through Isaiah, God is trying to provoke in these people the memory of who he was, that he was a mighty God, a mighty Savior, and a mighty deliverer. But he was doing this for a reason, and the reason was that he was getting ready for change. That is why God then said, I am doing a new thing. It may have been that the children of Israel were in exile for so long that they had been ruined physically, they had been ruined economically, culturally, and religiously. They were in a mess. And the prophet was trying to remind them of who God was. He was trying to remind them that God was still in control, that God was still on the throne. And he was excited about this. And you would imagine that the message that he was trying to portray to the people of Israel would have had them excited, and they should have been ecstatic. But they weren't. All they could see was that this newness was going to bring change, and that change frightened them. And some of them didn't want to recognize the change that was coming. Over the generations, sometimes church has become tired and it has become dead. And it has become like that because church in general, wasn't willing to change. The message is if we can stay the same as we are, we'll be okay. If change, newness brings in something that we don't recognize, then we put it down to the flesh or we put it down to the devil. And sometimes the message that the church sends out is, let's be careful, let's just stay as we are. You know, at the time of Isaiah's ministry, it was exactly the same. The people had lost their power, they had lost their vision, they had lost sight of what God was doing. But the wonderful thing is that they may have forgotten God, but God had not forgotten them. And after God reminded them of the great things that he had done through Isaiah, he seemed to flip the whole thing around. And in verse 18, he suddenly says, I want you to forget the former things. I don't want you to dwell in the past because I am doing a new thing. So forget the former things and let me do this new thing. Don't you see it? Don't you feel it? He was trying to express this to the people. I believe Isaiah was really excited and motivated this time. You can sense it in his voice. You can sense it in how he was speaking. God was doing something new here. And his response was, Lord, if you're doing something new, I want to be ready for the new thing that you're doing. God was going to deliver these people from the hand of Babylon. In the middle of a seemingly impossible situation, the prophet was encouraging the people to not lose heart, to not lose sight, but to look up because God was doing this new thing. God wanted his people to move. He wanted them to go forward, and he was doing a new thing in order that they could go forward. You know, throughout the centuries, the Spirit of God started to move, it always faced opposition. And we could say, yes, whenever God starts to move, the devil will always bring opposition. And that's true. But sadly, most of the opposition that the church faced whenever there was a move of the Spirit of God throughout the generations, most of the opposition that the church faced came through the church because some people didn't like the newness. There are many people today who would applaud Whitfield and Wesley. Had those people been living during the time of Whitfield and Wesley, it may have been a very different story. Maybe they would have been their opponents. You see, God was doing a new thing, and the Spirit of God was moving in the lives of these men to bring in a new wave of this moving of the Spirit of God, a new wave of God doing stuff in the lives of his people. I want to read something here to you. This is a report that was written at the time of Whitfield. Although the common people thronged to hear Whitfield, the church authorities took great offense at him, further preventing him preaching in any of their pulpits in the future. Whitfield and the Wesleys were men who were leading hundreds, if not thousands, of people into relationship with God. And yet, regarding Whitfield, the church prevented him preaching in the pulpits in the church. And do you know the reason for this? The reason was so simple and so silly. Because Whitfield preached in the open airs, and because he didn't use a wooden pulpit, he was banned from preaching in the churches. These were men of God, men whom God was using, but yet men whom the church was fighting against. I've heard people say over the years, why do we have to change our style of worship? Why do we need this newfangled worship? Why do we bring in uneducated preachers and people who are fostering fanaticism and religious enthusiasm? You know, let me read you something, some of the things that were written about John Wesley. He was accused of being a religious fanatic. He was accused of being mentally unstable. He was accused of promoting a strange doctrine and a strange gospel, causing religious disturbances and leading people astray and claiming miraculous gifts. You see, religious people and ministers of the gospel even preached against the Wesleys from the pulpits of their church. Why was this? Because these men were anointed by the Spirit of God to usher in change. God was doing a new thing, folks. And can you imagine what the body of Christ would have lost if these preachers had given in to the what ministers were saying and what people were saying? These men knew God was moving, and they didn't want to cow down to the opinions of others. God is always moving, folks. He is never still. God is a creative God. He is always building and he is always encouraging. In the days that lie ahead, I believe we will see a move of the Spirit of God in different places. But there will be some who will question it, and there will be some who will criticize it, and there will be some who will say it's of the devil. But here's something I want you to understand. The Scripture is full of God telling us that he is doing a new thing. Some of the things that we have been learning over these past number of weeks about the word new has shown us that God is doing a new thing. And what God is doing today is he's breaking strongholds in people's lives. He's bringing people who are bound into a place of freedom. He's making dark places full of light. He's changing people from darkness into light. He's making people who are hard and bitter and twisted into people who are full of love and compassion. He's given hope to the hopeless, and he's given life to the lifeless. He's mending and healing broken hearts, and he's mending and healing broken lives. He's doing a new thing. He's saving people and bringing people into relationship with himself. And you know what the word says about somebody who comes to Christ, about somebody who just gets saved? That they become a new creation. We have heard this. They are a new creation. They're born again of the Spirit of God. They're no longer the same, but they're new. God is doing a new thing. And he continues to do a new thing. It tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 14, that he's preparing a place for us in heaven. He's building new places, new mansions for us in heaven. We heard just last week about the new heaven and the new earth. So instead of being frightened when we hear or see that God is doing a new thing, let's be encouraged that God is doing a new thing. Let's pray and hope and be in people of anticipation that the Spirit of God is going to move and that God is doing a new thing. Yes, it will bring change. Yes, it may cause some of us to become unsettled. But let our prayer be, Lord, don't allow me to be afraid. Let me be prepared to change. Let me even anticipate this new thing. In fact, let's pray that God's Holy Spirit will bring a new thing into our relationship with God. Folks, our God is on the move. God never stands still. He tells us in his word, he's always the same. It tells us in his word that he will not change. But the methods that he uses, how he does things, the people that he uses will be new people. They will bring change. Even what we face here today, you're watching church through your television, through videos that wasn't happening a number of months ago. It's a new thing. God is doing a new thing. So let's not criticize it. Let's follow God. Let's do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, and let's press on in our relationship with God. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you today that your word is a word that brings life. I thank you, Father, that as we read your word, we see that you never stood still. You were always building, you were always creating, and you are always building and creating. And I pray today, Father God, that as we look forward to the new things that you are going to do, that we will look forward with anticipation and excitement about how God can move in not only our lives, but in the lives of people across this world. Lord, we're excited about the new things that you are going to be doing. We're excited, Lord, about that plan and that purpose that you have for us to be part of that new thing. And I pray that you will give us open hearts and open minds to be aware of what you're doing in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.